With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The Northwoods picked up a couple of inches of light snow this weekend. It was enough to help build up and reopen some cross-country ski trails in the area, but it's not enough for most snowmobile trails. WXPR's Katie Thorson spoke with the head of the Oneida County Snowmobile Council to learn what it will take to get trails open.
Last winter brought the Northwoods record-high warm temperatures and little precipitation. This year brought a return to cold temperatures, but we're still sorely lacking in snowfall. It's meant the second year in a row where snowmobile trails haven't been open over Christmas and New Year, typically one of the busiest times of year for the trails. Jim Wendt is the president of the Oneida County Snowmobile Council.
Snowmobilers, yes, they're very discouraged, but the ones I feel so sad for are the businesses. We lost the whole Christmas New Year week, which was usually packed with tourists, and they come here and ride and spend their money. And you have business owners who, you know, they're counting on traffic, and we're not getting it.
While any snow at this point helps, Wendt says the few inches Oneida County picked up over the weekend was too fluffy to pack well.
We need a good wet snowfall, you know, one that happens around 25 degrees or something. And it would really help us because then we can get our machinery out to begin to what we call pan the trails, which is packing the snow down on the trail base. And then it'll freeze in and trap the frost down there. It'll start making it hard. And then we can begin to think about putting snowmobiles out there.
He reminds riders to stay off the trails until they're officially open. Aside from being illegal, it could also cause a landowner to revoke access and ruin a trail segment for everyone. Oneida County Forestry will send out an official press release when all clubs in the county are ready to open trails.
It will come. I hope very soon, but it will come. But make sure it's from reliable sources.
Last year was the first time in at least 25 years that snowmobile trails never opened in Oneida County. In records going back to 1999, only 3 years had January opening dates. Otherwise, trails have always opened by the end of December. Trails cannot stay open later than March 31st, even if there's good snow conditions. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
Iron County will likely be the first county in Wisconsin to open its snowmobile trails for the season. Iron County Forestry and Parks Department announced the trail system will open for the season this Thursday at 7 a.m. Riders can expect very early season conditions with many rough areas and thin spots. The county says more snow is definitely needed, but they were able to get a solid base earlier this year, which is allowing them to open now. It encourages riders to watch for trail condition updates from the clubs as they continue to work with what snow is available. A Tomahawk area woman is charged with first-degree reckless homicide in the stabbing death of her husband in the Lincoln County town of Bradley. 50-year-old Richard Ricky Sanderson died Thursday night at a hospital in Tomahawk. 43-year-old Michelle Sanderson appeared in Lincoln County Circuit Court Monday on the reckless homicide charge, as well as counts of obstructing an officer and disorderly conduct. All the charges carry domestic abuse enhancers. The Lincoln County Sheriff's Office says just before 10 p.m. Thursday night, they got a report of a man who had been injured in his chest and had shortness of breath. The caller was driving the man to the hospital. Officers arrived at Tomahawk Aspirus Hospital to begin an investigation and were informed a short time later Sanderson had died from his injuries. The Michigan DNR is considering changes to walleye regulations for Lake Gogebic. Lake Gogebic is the largest inland lake in the Upper Peninsula. It currently falls under existing statewide regulation for walleye, which is a 15-inch minimum size requirement and a daily possession limit of 5 fish. The Michigan DNR wants to add a protected slot limit. Anglers would not be able to keep walleye measuring between 18 and 23 inches and could only keep one that measures 23 inches or longer. The DNR is holding a public meeting to get input on the proposed changes. It's Tuesday, January 21st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marinesco Village Township Hall. You can also share comments on the DNR website if you're unable to attend in person. We have a link at WXPR.org. Despite recent gains in sales, electric vehicles still face skepticism over concerns like the battery not holding up in cold weather. Industry groups have a message for drivers in cold climates. You can still drive your EV when it's freezing outside. Mike Moen reports.
Research has found that bitterly cold temperatures can reduce the average driving range of an electric vehicle from anywhere from 25% to 41%, depending on the circumstances. Ingrid Malmgren with the group Plug in America says while some of these effects are real, they can be overstated. She also points out that emerging technology is reducing the impact frigid temperatures sometimes have on the performance of an EV.
A lot of EVs now include heat pumps to help the batteries be more efficient and to work better in cold weather.
And experts say drivers can take certain steps to ensure their commute goes smoothly. That includes using a setting on most newer EV models that warms the battery to an optimal temperature, allowing for faster charging. Federal data show EVs aren't the only ones affected by extreme weather. Gas-powered cars lose between 10 and 20% of their driving range when the temperature drops significantly. A recent Plug-in America survey of more than 3,000 EV owners found that 70% of them worried about battery range before buying an electric car. But Malmgren says the outlook improved after the purchase was made.
Once they are familiar with EVs and driving them, these concerns largely go away.
The concern level dropped to 35% in the ownership phase. The vast majority of those who remain concerned about range own EVs built before 2020 and live in rural areas where charging infrastructure is scarcer. Drivers typically travel longer distances. However, federal grants are helping states add more charging stations along interstates. I'm Mike Moen.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.